actually changes our society? What actions? Actions where?
In the courtrooms.
You know, we could go marching and protesting and be as mad as we want, but until we actually have more of you guys working in courtrooms.
Henderson's voice trails off a moment. Then he says, change will be very limited unless you do it on your own. For NPR News, I'm Erica Barris in Pittsburgh.
And you heard that story right here on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit in March jumped to the highest level in more than 6 years, as a small increase in exports was swamped by a flood of imports from autos to cell phones. The deficit rose to $51.4 billion, more than 43% higher than the February imbalance. Exports were up 0.9%. Imports increased 7.7%. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending May the 3rd. The numbers look like this. Corn planted 55% versus 19% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 38%. Corn emerged 9% versus 2% last week, and the five-year average of 12%. Soybeans planted 13% versus 2% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 9%. Archer Daniels Midland Company says that its first quarter sales fell 15% as a strong dollar and weak markets led to softness in its corn processing business. Profit for the company's corn processing business fell $127 million from $251 million due to lower ethanol volumes and weaker industry volumes. The company posted earnings of $493 million, or 70 cents a share, up from $267 million, or 40 cents a share in the prior year period. Revenue fell to $17.51 billion from $20.67 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 17,991. It's down 4 points. The NASDAQ, 44.54, down 22. The S&P 500, 21.06, down 3.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Midwest weather conditions were rather mixed yesterday and will be that way again today. And most of the region is going to see shower and thunderstorm activity at one time or another as we go forward through the next 7 days. But the precipitation over the next two will likely be more concentrated on the central portions of the region rather than in the majority of the area. In other words, we'll see rain and thunderstorms focused on Illinois, portions of Indiana, and parts of Ohio as we move forward through these next few days. I don't think we'll see very many locations that get the kind of heavy rain that's going to be occurring in areas off to the west, but there will be still some shower and thunderstorm activity. Today's precipitation will be focused on Iowa and northern Missouri and areas eastward of southern Michigan and portions of northern Ohio. As we go through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow, the precipitation is going to become a little bit more erratic and distributed over a larger portion of the eastern Midwest, but we're not expecting the precipitation to be very concentrated or as heavy as what will occur during a part of the day today in portions of the region I have described. There will still be planting progress made over these next 2 days, with tomorrow and probably Thursday being favorable days for getting field work accomplished in quite a few locations east of the Mississippi River, mainly because of the erratic nature of shower and thunderstorm activity that will occur and the continuation of warm temperatures that will prevail as well. In the western Corn Belt, it's a bit of a different story. Many areas in the west will likely see repetitive rain and thunderstorms over these next few days, causing a bit of a delay in farming activity. It will become heavy as far as the rain intensity is concerned in portions of Kansas and portions of Oklahoma, maybe Missouri, southern Iowa as well, and some of that bleeds into portions of Illinois as we get into the latter part of this week. Some of the rain intensity will be great enough to stall field work for an extended period of time, but a lot of the wettest areas are the areas that have seen the best field progress in recent weeks with the drier bias. There will be plenty of moisture in hard red winter wheat country as well, and some areas may start to be threatened by some wet weather disease by the time we're done with the first part of next week, when a second storm system is planned on moving through the region at some point over the course of the weekend. The northern U.S. plains and parts of the upper Midwest, where it's been driest so far this spring, will get an opportunity for relief from the dry bias as we move forward through this midweek period. But after that, the precipitation potentials may fall off again, so there'll be a temporary improvement for parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota, and areas northward into Canada will probably find those areas drying out again a little later down the road. Our temperatures across the heart of the Midwest are going to be warm as we move forward through this week. Most daily high temperatures will run in the upper 70s and lower 80s across the lower two-thirds of the Midwest. Only the Great Lakes region will likely see cooler bias conditions with upper 60 and 70 degree temperatures occurring periodically. It looks like Thursday will be warmest with 80 degree temperatures possibly getting up into portions of southern Michigan as well as southern Wisconsin. Only areas near the lake will likely be a little bit cooler. Now, in the western portions of the Corn Belt, temperatures will be a little bit less warm because of the cloud cover and precipitation will occur periodically and higher humidity. There will be a lot of 70s there, a few lower 80s, but when you travel to the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, temperatures may be cooled back to the upper 50 and 60 degree readings by the end of this week. There's no risk of any kind of significant cold weather across the Midwest anytime soon, but there is going to be a cooling tendency late in the weekend and early part of next week. The bottom line is that field work in the eastern parts of the Midwest will advance around shower and thunderstorm activity for the next few days, while the western Corn Belt sees a higher level of frequency of precipitation and greater rain amounts, causing a bit more significant delay in farming activity. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is $4.95, down 3.25. Soft May wheat, $4.66, down 3.25. July, $4.67.75, down 5. May corn, $3.56.25, down 2.5. July, $3.58, down 3.25. September, $3.64.5, down 3.25. December, $3.74.75, down 3. May soybeans, $9.88, up 5. July, $9.79.5, up 3.25. September is 9.57.5, up 1.25. November, 9.50.25, up 1.25. May soybean meal, $3.15.40, down 40 cents. May soybean oil is $32.85, up 38. July, $33.07, up 44. June live cattle, $151.32.5, up 60. August, $149.47.5, up 35. May feeders, $215.50, up 35. August, $218.22.5, up 90. May lean hog, $77.32.5, up 40. And June, $82.50, up 67.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
55%. I guess that means that if after we come back from this rain where there's some planting and no planting, and then we have this next open window, the week following, we might be close to done.
Yeah, and that's they're looking at 70% as the next reading, but there are people that got an inch the last two nights in a row. So that's whatever they were planting has stopped for a while. In Illinois, far north and far south, I don't think got much. Through here, I don't know, 3/10 to 8/10, I think was kind of common. But we will make good progress continuing on the next open one. And, you know, 55 versus a normal five-year average of 38. The beans were 13, which I thought might be a little higher, but I was looking at my backyard, not the world. And that's two above the normal of 11, so that pace is going too. And look at Minnesota. Minnesota was, I think, 80-some percent on corn and 30-some on beans.
Right. and they were having some dry conditions, so they were having some good planting, and now it's raining on those well-planted soybeans and corn, so it's off to a good start, too. Is the market reflecting this report today where it's selling the corn and buying the beans?
Well, I think on the corn it might be, on the and on the wheat, because we got good water in wheat country, too. But on the beans, you still have China buying or that bought a bunch of oil and buying stuff for reserves, and that's still out there on the and the bean the brains of beans. Also, strikes in some of the ports of South America helping hold beans up. Industry talks about somewhere by mid-May the beans starting back down instead of being the way they have been, as sideways, up some days, down some days. Look at the last couple weeks. We go up for a while and then go right back down for a while. Last week, late, we made new lows for the move after being 40 cents higher than those lows.
And the fear, the likelihood is that the downside is more likely than the upside longer term, yes?
Long term. Part of the reason the upside also is the quicker we plant corn, usually the more acres we plant, and that could eat into some bean acres that they were thinking of planting.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace: May corn 356 1/4, down 2.5. July 357 3/4, down 3.5. December 374 1/2, down 3.25. May beans 987 up 4. July 978 1/2. Now 1/4 up 2. Remember, these are live quotes. November 949 3/4, up 3/4. May soybean meal 315.40. Down 40 cents. May soybean oil is $32.85, and it is up 38 cents. You are listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM, 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.